Okay, don't skip ahead. I'm going to talk to you about climate change. And I know it can get depressing or infuriating, but our show takes a different approach. It's Laura Lynch, and I'm the host of What on Earth, and we're all about solutions and hope. And I promise, no matter how overwhelming climate change might feel, we're with you on the journey to fix this mess. So listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning, I'm Kayla Hounsell in Halifax. We begin in the Middle East and mounting concerns over an escalation to a wider conflict. Residents of the Iranian city of Isfahan captured what appears to be explosions on video. They occurred near a military site there. The U.S. believes the overnight attack to be Israel's retaliation for last weekend's missile attack by Iran, but Tehran is downplaying it. Chris Brown is in Jerusalem with the latest.
A witness on the ground in the Iranian city of Isfahan posted on social media that he had heard sounds of explosions and air defenses being fired, but that nothing on the ground was hit. There are many competing narratives, but initially, Iranian state media said three drones were intercepted and shot down. Isfahan hosts a major Iranian military base, and there are also several nuclear sites in the area. Iranian media is reporting those facilities are unharmed. Other Iranian reports suggest the drones were in fact short-range quadcopters launched from relatively nearby and not a long-range craft that would have flown from Israel. Reuters news agency quoted an Iranian official as saying they don't know who launched the drones, nor are there any plans for retaliation. Israel has been under pressure from the United States not to respond to Iran's attack last weekend that saw it fire more than 300 rockets and other projectiles, an attack that Iran claims was in response to Israel's destruction of its consulate building in Syria. The fact Iran appears to be downplaying this latest incident indicates its government may want to see an end to the cycle of strike and counterstrike, which, if so, will come as a relief to many in this region and far beyond. Chris Brown, CBC News, Jerusalem.
And the attack in Iran became a focus for G7 foreign ministers meeting in Italy. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken declined to answer questions directly about the incident.
I'm not going to speak to that, except to say that the United States has not been involved in any offensive operations. What we're focused on, what the G7 is focused on, is our work to de-escalate from any potential conflict.
In a statement, the G7 ministers are urging Iran and Israel to avoid making the crisis worse and warning Tehran of possible new sanctions, saying they will hold Iran accountable for what they call its malicious and destabilizing actions in the Middle East. The G7 ministers are also calling for more action in addressing the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Millions of Indians are heading to the polls today for phase one of a six-week-long election process. The vote is seen as a referendum on Narendra Modi and his Hindu nationalist party. Modi is seeking a third term as the country's leader. The CBC's Salima Shivji has more on the world's largest election from the state of Uttar Pradesh.
I'm at a polling booth in Muzaffarnagar, a town in northern India's Uttar Pradesh state, and there's a steady stream of voters, even under a hot sun, eager to cast their ballots. It feels good, it feels great, this first-time voter says. This is just day one of seven staggered phases of voting in the biggest election the world has ever seen. Nearly a billion eligible voters. Uttar Pradesh alone has a population larger than most countries, Brazil or Pakistan, for example. It's also right in the so-called Hindu heartland of India, where Prime Minister Narendra Modi is hugely popular. And Modi's base is devoted to him.
Modi Bhagwan ka dekhne ka.
I've come to see our God, Modi, this man says, at a recent rally.
There is no opposition for Modi. One and only Modi.
Dozens of opposition parties have banded together into an alliance to try to beat the prime minister. But polls suggest Modi is in a strong position to win his third straight term. Still, there are concerns about what that could mean, especially with a recent crackdown, with federal investigative agencies acting against opposition leaders, even jailing some. Modi and his party say the agencies are acting independently. Rajiv Bhargava is a Delhi-based political scientist.
There is some fear that it will become even more dictatorial than it is. Already there are signs that there is a lot of arbitrary use of power.
The results will come in June in this consequential election, with India the fastest growing major economy and an emerging global power. Salima Shivji, CBC News, Muzaffarnagar, Uttar Pradesh.
In British Columbia, more rescue equipment has been arriving for the new attempt to save a killer whale calf that has been trapped alone in a Vancouver Island lagoon for almost a month. A large seine netting boat from Campbell River's Homalco First Nation has arrived for the continued rescue operation efforts. Last Friday's attempt involved more than 50 people using boats, nets, and drones. There's a recruiting hole in the Canadian Armed Forces, and officials say it's only going to get worse with the country's new defense policy. The policy proposes adding new equipment to the fleet, including submarines and long-range missiles. But as the CBC's Murray Brewster explains, the federal government is facing the prospect of not having anyone to operate them.
There's the price tag that comes with the new defense policy. Over the next several years, $8.1 billion. And then there's the personnel cost.
The planning figure that we're using is 14,500 into the regular force.
General Wayne Ayer is the country's chief of the defense staff.
And the capabilities that are in this policy and the capabilities that were announced in NORAD modernization require that. Otherwise, we're going to have to strip out those people from some other capability in the armed forces.
The problem is the military is already facing a deficit of 16,500 people, below its authorized strength, and a broken recruiting system. Richard Schmucka, a defense expert, says the stakes couldn't be much higher, with the federal government soon to take delivery of F-35 jets, Reaper drones, and eventually new frigates. And all of that was before last week's promise to add submarines and ground-based air defense systems. Schmucka says recruiting and holding on to an additional 30,000 people or more will be a monumental task.
The implementation of the increase of the forces is going to be really difficult, and it's going to be tough to see how they execute this.
The new defense policy promises to fix recruiting, but does not anticipate that will be accomplished for another 8 years. Murray Brewster, CBC News, Ottawa.
The federal health minister is accusing opposition leader Pierre Poilievre of misleading Canadians. Mark Holland says Poilievre isn't telling the truth about the government's plan for a national pharmacare program. Poilievre has been attacking this week's federal budget while keeping quiet about what programs he would cut if he was prime minister. Tom Perry reports.
This budget, just like this prime minister, are not worth the cost, and Conservatives will be voting no.
For more than an hour, Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre stood in the House of Commons attacking the federal Liberals and their new budget. With nearly $53 billion in new spending, Poilievre says the government's plan will only drive the country further into debt. Poilievre, for the most part, hasn't said where he would cut or whether a Conservative government would maintain programs like dental care and pharmacare, which Poilievre says don't yet exist.
Poilievre. On the budget.
But in a radio interview with City News, Poilievre took specific aim at the government's pharmacare policy, making this claim.
Most of your listeners already have coverage through their workplace. The pharmacare bill Trudeau's brought forward would ban that.
The government's legislation does not ban workplace insurance plans, and so far is only offering to cover contraceptives and some diabetes treatments.
It's the dishonesty to me that is so reprehensible.
Health Minister Mark Holland says if Poilievre is against pharmacare or dental care, he should just say it. Instead, Holland says, the Conservative leader is using fake arguments and lies to mislead Canadians. Tom Perry, CBC News, Ottawa.
And finally, there are a lot of sleepy-eyed Swifties walking amongst us this morning, and many parents know this is why.
You left your typewriter at my apartment, straight from the tortured poet's department. I think some things I never say, like who uses time.
A Taylor Swift double album release after midnight. She first dropped The Tortured Poets Department. It is an amalgamation of Swift's previous work. Then, 2 hours later, The Tortured Poets Department, the anthology, was introduced to fans. It features 15 additional songs, including this one, named after the album's title. This is Swift's 11th album. And that is the latest national and international news from World Report. I'm Kayla Hounsell. This is CBC News.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.